Torres, the court answered that question in the affirmative. Yes, Torres was seized, the court said, splitting 5-3, with the Chief Justice writing for the majority. So it was the Chief Justice and Justice Kavanaugh here joining the three liberal justices in the majority. Justice Barrett did not participate in the opinion. So only 8 justices. And the court held that application of physical force with intent to restrain is a Fourth Amendment seizure, regardless of whether the application is successful, right, in restraining the individual. So the majority opinion begins by invoking a case from 1991 called California versus Hodari D, an opinion that the majority maybe conspicuously reminds us was authored by Justice Scalia. And it says that the question in Torres was, quote, largely covered by Hodari D, a kind of curious description that comes short of saying that the decision is actually binding precedent. Now, in Hodari D, Justice Scalia wrote that the common law of arrest was the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment's original and contemporary meaning. And the opinion further asserted that at common law, quote, the mere grasping or application of physical force with lawful authority was an arrest, quote, whether or not it succeeded in subduing the arrestee. And this, the court said in Hodari D, was a means of arresting that was separate and distinct from non-forcible shows of authority. Those, right, a halt, right, without a touching, those at common law required accomplishment of termination of movement in order to qualify for arrest. But touching, the court said in Hodari D, didn't require accomplishing termination of movement. However, in Hodari D, the court was not actually required to apply the rule that mere grasping amounted to arrest. The facts in Hodari D were a halt situation. They were a show of authority situation, right? So everything the court says about the mere touching is arguably dicta. Seemingly acknowledging this, the Chief Justice in Torres writes that regardless of whether Hodari D binds as a matter of stare decisis, the majority now, quote, independently reaches the same conclusion that Hodari D did. And so the opinion then goes on to canvass the early American and English common law and reach the same conclusions that I just described that it says were established 3 decades earlier. The majority opinion contends that particularly in English cases that would have been familiar to the founders, courts found individuals to have been arrested at the moment when hands were placed on them, even if they escaped the grasp. But wait, you might be thinking, no hands were laid on Ms. Torres. She was shot at from a considerable distance. And to this point, the majority observes that courts at the founding had no occasion to consider the effect of firearm usage in arrest because police weren't armed at the time. So it says the fact that we can't find any cases about police shooting individuals and therefore seizing them is irrelevant. Those cases simply didn't arise. Then it goes on to identify one English case that it says establishes the principle that touch by object could seize as well as touch by hand. It's the Countess of Rutland's case from the Star Chamber, 1605. And in that case, a seizure was found to be accomplished by physical touching by mace. And you see here the crest for the Countess of Rutland. And what Google tells me is an English mace, but is not the actual mace used in the case, I promise. There in the Countess of Rutland's case, the sergeant of arms was trying to arrest the Countess of Rutland, and they tracked down the Countess, and the court, the opinion quote says, they showed her their mace, and touching her body with it, they said, "We arrest you, madam." And that's enough, even though actually the Countess escaped. So the majority concludes, the police seized Torres in exactly the same way, if in a far less genteel way when they applied physical force with the intent to prevent her from driving away. Now, on this last piece, with intent to prevent her from driving away, some of you might be thinking, wait a second, I thought the court has repeatedly said that the intent of an officer does not matter in Fourth Amendment analysis. In fact, we shouldn't ever be asking about the subjective intent of an officer in analyzing application of the Fourth Amendment. Correct. The court emphasizes in Torres that intent to restrain must be assessed not subjectively, looking into the mind of the officer, but rather by asking, quote, whether the challenged conduct objectively manifests an intent to restrain. A somewhat confusing amalgam of subjective and objective criteria that I would definitely expect litigation over as the Torres decision plays out in lower courts.